Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And the title of today's message is Together with Christ. Together with Christ. And I was talking about this last week about how the Apostle Paul, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words, he spoke of a quickening. Now, the word quicken or quickening has to do in the Bible with the giving of spiritual life in the new birth. You recall in John chapter 3 when Christ spoke to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, who was a religious man, and Christ told him, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God speaks of Christ and the salvation that he fully and freely provides for his people through his substitutionary death on the cross. The establishment of that kingdom is what Christ did on the cross. You know, he spoke to his disciples about the coming of the kingdom. And the kingdom of God, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not an earthly kingdom, he said. And so he told Nicodemus, and he tells us, you must be born again or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of heaven. The reason we must be born again is because we are by nature fallen in Adam, ruined by the fall, and we are born naturally, physically, in spiritual death and depravity. Now, what that means is that we have no desire or capacity to know and believe and love and live by the things that glorify and honor God. We won't even believe the gospel unless we're born again. You know, people today, they think, well, that the new birth is the result of their decision. That's called decisional regeneration. Regeneration means the giving of new life. But the Bible doesn't teach that. That's a false doctrine. Regeneration, the new birth, the quickening, is not based upon your decision, your believing. Your decision for Christ and your believing is the result of being born again. And somebody says, well, how are we born again? Well, by the Spirit, sovereignly, invincibly, by the will of God. And no preacher can control that. And you cannot control that. We simply go out and we preach the gospel to anyone who listens, and God sends the Spirit through Christ and quickens whom he will. And they're born of God. And the evidence of that quickening, the evidence of that new birth, is that they believe the gospel. The cause of the new birth is Christ and his righteousness. Romans 8:10 is a verse I quote quite often. And it says, if Christ be in you, and that means if you've been born again and spiritually quickened, awakened, and if Christ is in you by his Spirit and by his Word, the life, spiritual life given, you've been born again. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. This physical body is still dying. We'll get old and die because of sin. That's a consequence. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is life, eternal life, spiritual life, because of righteousness. And where do you find righteousness? Only in the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, righteousness is the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in and by Christ. Your believing does not make you righteous. Christ made you right if you're one of his now. I'm not talking to everybody without exception. If you believe the gospel, you know that Christ is your righteousness. And so Paul had talked about that quickening, but then again he talks about how that this quickening is a matter of God's sovereign mercy and love. Look at verse 4. But God, Ephesians 2 verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, talking about his people now, not everybody without exception there. My friend, there's no love from God outside of Christ. And all whom God loves in Christ shall be quickened, shall be saved. And he says in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, spiritually dead. In other words, it wasn't conditioned on us. It wasn't due to anything we did or were enabled to do. It wasn't due to our decision or our believing. God had mercy upon his chosen people, his elect, even in Christ, even when they were dead in sins. And then he mentions another quickening. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now, the King James translators put this in parentheses, and that's okay, because this is what Paul's saying. By grace you are saved. Or by whose grace you are saved. So he's talking about a quickening here that was that all of God's children participated in with Christ, together with Christ. And look at verse 6. He talks about this together. This is the key word now. And hath raised us up together and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So the quickening that he's speaking of here is a quickening that everyone whom God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ, everyone for whom Christ died, was buried, and arose again, everyone who will be quickened individually throughout time in the world and be born again and brought to faith in Christ, everyone who will be glorified and live eternally with him, participated in together as one body. Now, what is he talking about? Well, he's not talking about the new birth in verse 5. Because the new birth is not something that every one of God's children experienced together at one time, like he's speaking of here. You see, God's people, God's chosen people, the ones whom he gave to Christ, the ones for whom Christ died, the ones whom he's justified, that is, forgiven all their sins and declared them righteous in his sight based upon the blood of Christ, they will, each one individually at God's appointed time, be born again. They'll be quickened individually. They'll be given spiritual life, brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. But that didn't happen at the same time for all believers. For example, it happened to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. Several thousand years ago. Didn't happen to me then. It happened to me over 30 years ago. But here is a time that he's speaking of, a quickening that he's speaking of, in which I and the Apostle Paul were quickened together with Christ. And what's he talking about here? Well, what he's talking about is every true believer's union with Christ legally as Christ died for all their sins at one time, together, all the sins of all of God's elect, all the sins of all of Christ's sheep, same thing, were laid on Christ, imputed to him, and he died for their sins. One time. The Bible says in Hebrews 10 and verse 14, by one offering he hath perfected them that are sanctified forever. So who are the ones who are sanctified forever? That's God's chosen people. That's the ones who are justified in God's sight. That's the ones for whom Christ died on the cross. That's the ones who will be born again in their day, at some point in time appointed of God by the power of the Spirit. That's who they are. Them that are sanctified. They were set apart. That's what sanctified means. They were set apart by God before the foundation of the world. And what does it say that Christ did on the cross? He perfected them. That means He completed them. He died for all their sins imputed to Him, and He satisfied the law and justice of God and brought forth righteousness by His work, His obedience unto death, for all of them. The perfection of what was required for them to be saved was completed. Their salvation was ensured, perfected by what Christ did. And what did He do? He offered Himself without spot to God. He went under the law of God, the justice of God, for the sins of His people imputed, charged to Him. And by that one offering, He perfected that. That's what Paul's talking about here in verse 5. When Christ died, all of His people died. He's their surety, their substitute, their representative, their redeemer. When He died, they all died. When He was buried, they all were buried. When He arose from the dead, that's the quickening here. They all rose with Him, legally. They were quickened together with Christ. And that emphasizes this fact, that by grace you are saved. In other words, salvation is not based upon our participation by anything we do or don't do or decide or don't decide. No, sir. It's totally based upon what Christ did in His death, burial, and resurrection. Now, salvation, when it's applied to us individually in the new birth, includes our participation. We will participate. We will make a decision, and it'll be the right one. Now, why? Because God gives us a new heart, a new mind. He makes us willing in the day of His power. If left to ourselves without the new birth, we would never make the right decision. We would never believe. And that's what Paul goes on to prove here. Look at verse 6. Of Ephesians 2. See, grace is salvation conditioned on Christ. Works is salvation conditioned on me and you. It's not conditioned on me and you. It's conditioned on Christ. And so he says in verse 6, and hath raised us up together. That's the resurrection, you see. That's the quickening that he's talking about. And made us sit together. Christ is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. And He represents His people. He's the surety of His people, God's elect, His sheep. He pleads on behalf of His sheep. And He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The assurance of salvation is not because I did anything or decided anything. The assurance of salvation is not because I'm doing anything. The assurance of salvation is the fact that Christ is seated in the heavenlies, ever living to make intercession for me. And the evidence that He's doing it for me is that I believe in Him. I trust Him. I rest in Him. You see? Faith is not the ground or the cause of the new birth or salvation. It's the evidence of the new birth, of salvation itself. And that's what he says. Look at verse 7 here of Ephesians 2. That in the ages to come, He might show forth the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness, or you might say His mercy and love toward us through Christ Jesus, based upon the blood of Christ, His righteousness. And so he summarizes it this way in these next three verses. Look at it. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved. It's all grace. It's a free gift. It's not earned and it's not deserved. And let me just get your attention here now. Romans 5:21 tells us that grace reigns through righteousness. Just as sin reigns unto death, grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God's love and God's grace and God's mercy are not arbitrary things. They're not just some blanket disposition of God that is placed upon all people without exception and only powerful to save if they will believe or if they will cooperate. No, sir. The grace, the love, the mercy of God is towards His chosen people in Christ based on His righteousness alone that ensures their salvation, that ensures their new birth, that ensures they'll be quickened individually, that ensures that they will have faith. So look at it again, verse 2, or chapter 2 and verse 8 of Ephesians now. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now that means by means of faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is not the product of yourself. Faith is not the fruit of your free will decision. You don't have a free will. If you're in the natural state, man is in bondage to sin. The bondage of the will is one famous book about that. Man will not come to... Listen, Christ said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. God's got to draw him. Now, how's God drawing? Through the new birth. He gives him life from the dead. He quickens him. Gives him knowledge and faith. Now, some commentators, and I'll caution you on this, when they go to verse 8, they'll say that when it says that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, that doesn't refer to faith. But it refers to salvation. Well, let me say this about that. It does refer to salvation. But my friend, salvation includes believing, faith. So it includes all of salvation. Salvation is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. But that includes faith. Faith, too, is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, a lot of people today, they make faith a work. How do they do that? Because they make faith their Savior. If you believe that Christ died for everybody and the salvation is conditioned on you, you're believing, Christ isn't your Savior. You'd have to say He died for those who enter hell because they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't believe. So Christ isn't your Savior, faith is. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. That's salvation by works. That's the subtlety of Satan. That's walking according to the prince of the power of the air, a child of disobedience. My faith does not make the difference between my being saved or lost. Christ made the difference. And I know He made the difference for me because He gave me the gift of faith. So listen to it again, verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Well, you say, well, God gives that to everybody, but some reject it. The Bible doesn't teach that. No, sir. The Bible tells us that when God gives faith, that's a believer. And it's not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast. So look at verse 10. Now, here's how he sums it up. For we are His workmanship. Now that tells you that a true believer, a born-again person, a saved person, is not self-made. He's not his own creation. You didn't create yourself. God created that person. We are His workmanship. He's the potter, we're the clay, Romans 9 says. You know, some people, there's a little saying that's kind of revealing as well as comical, where they talk about a person who has a great ego. And they'll say he's a self-made man and he's in love with his creator. But you know, that's a good description of false religion, even false Christianity. People believe that they made the difference. And they believe that God accepted what they did. Well, that's a God like unto themselves, not the God of the Bible. The true God of the Bible is one who justifies the ungodly based upon the righteousness of his Son. And that will bring faith to his people. So Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship. Now, how did he work all this? How did he create us? He says, created in Christ Jesus. That's how the creation, you know, a sinner saved by grace is called the new creation. Well, who created him? Well, there's no argument God created him physically. You didn't create yourself physically and put yourself in your mother's womb and birth yourself. Well, my friend, it's just as true when it comes to spiritual life and the new birth. We're his creation, and he created us in Christ Jesus. And that's what he's talking about, together with Christ. Christ is my surety. My sins were charged to his account. And he willingly took on the responsibility of saving me from my sins. And in order to do that, he had to be made like unto his brethren, as Hebrews 2 says. He had to become man without sin. The Word made flesh to dwell among us. That's what he had to be. The angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:21, his name shall be called Jesus. That means salvation. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now, are you sure he's able to do that? Well, verse 23 says, Matthew 1:23, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt, tabernacled among us. That's who Jesus Christ is. And he's my surety. My sins were laid upon him. And in order for him to pay for those sins, to die, he had to become man without sin. He's the God-man without sin. And in order to pay for those sins, he had to go under the law of God. The Bible says in Galatians 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of woman. That's his humanity without sin. God, man. Made under the law. That means that all of thy sins, having been imputed, charged to him, he had to go under the penalty of the law. He had to be made a curse for us. He had to be made sin. He had to die on the cross to satisfy the justice of God and pay my sin debt. And that was the redemption of his people. He were redeemed by the blood of Christ. And that's what this is. Created in Christ Jesus. And how do you know this is a new creation instead of condemnation and destruction and death? Because Christ died. He was buried, but he didn't stay dead. He arose again the third day. So that we can say, if we believe the gospel, if we've been brought by God to believe the gospel, if we've been born again and given the gift of faith in Christ and repentance of dead works, we can say that I was quickened together with Christ, raised up together, and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And notice back in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, notice what it says, unto good works. Now, notice it says unto good works, not because of good works. You see that? If you believe that you made the difference, then that's a work, you see. My salvation is not because I made the difference. It's because Christ made the difference. It's His work. But the Bible says here that those who died together, were buried together, raised together, and raised up and made to sit together with Christ, they're God's workmanship created in Christ unto good works. Good works are the effect, the result, the fruit of what God has done for me in Christ. Good works do not save us. Good works do not make us fit for heaven. Good works do not keep us saved. Good works do not earn God's blessings for us or our rewards in heaven. Our reward in heaven is Christ. And we stand in Him, in His righteousness. Not having my own righteousness, Paul said, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. We receive by faith. So good works do not save us. They don't keep us saved. They will not bring us to glory. They will not give us a bigger mansion in heaven. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1:3. We don't earn God's blessings. We don't deserve them. It's all in Christ, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast, but there will be good works as the fruit and the effect. And it says in verse 10, which God hath before ordained, prepared, foreordained that we should walk in them. Good works are the work of God in us by the power of the Spirit through Christ. And it's the foreordination, the predestination of God that His people should walk in them. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to still be sinners saved by grace, but we'll follow Christ and rest in Him for all salvation. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969. Or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.